Well, good morning, church. Glad to be with you all. This is the last Sunday for the year that you'll see me preaching behind the pulpit. Of course, I'll be around. So all of you who have come to... I'm just going to stop. This is going bad direction, and we don't need to continue that. But anyway, we are continuing on throughout the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to finish it up, and this is really the clarion call, so to speak. If last week was the climax of the Sermon on the Mount with the golden rule, today would be kind of the conclusion, the action plan. After hearing all that Jesus has taught, after hearing all that Jesus has said, what are we going to do with that teaching? And so today what we're going to see is kingdom wisdom from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 29. And we're going to see that Jesus is calling the listeners, both the disciples and those who aren't following him, this whole crowd that's in front of him on this mountainside, he's calling them to action. Because it's one thing to hear the great words that he preached. It's one thing to absorb the knowledge that he's giving, but it's a completely other thing to act upon that knowledge. I think one common definition of wisdom is applied knowledge, is taking what you know and living those things. Wisdom sort of has the aspect of action behind it that knowledge necessarily doesn't. And so this goes far beyond just a mental agreement with a set of facts, but rather gets to how are we going to live now believing the truth that we have heard. And so it's applying the knowledge that Jesus has given. This is kingdom knowledge. And of course, as we go through our scripture today, what we're going to see is that there's the positive wisdom that he's giving, but implied in that positive wisdom are warnings as well. And so what we're going to see is kind of that twofold type of idea with kingdom wisdom that goes along with the warning of not heeding that wisdom, of not living by the wisdom that he has given. And so today what the purpose is that as we see this kingdom wisdom, what we're going to see that, or my purpose is that I want you to consider God's wisdom and live it. It's, as I've been saying, one thing to really hear the Sermon on the Mount. As we've been going through those things, we hear those highlight verses that we all know and love, of course, and maybe it gives us some fond remembrances of sermons we've heard or people who lived by those verses or great things that those great mental images and teachings that we've heard on those verses. But it's another thing then to consider God's wisdom and then live those things out. So Jesus is not just preaching the greatest sermon of all time to impart some great passing quotes, but rather he wants to give out his wisdom so that we would live out his wisdom. He wants us to be the type of people that live according to what he is preaching. And so as we consider God's wisdom to live it, what we're going to see is that Jesus gives four words of kingdom wisdom. And this is how I think the sermon breaks down. He kind of gives four stories about how to use the wisdom that God has given, that Jesus has just preached on, in order to be the type of kingdom people that he calls us to be. And so as we consider those things, let us consider then the call that each of us must respond to. It wasn't just the crowd gathered on that mountainside 2,000 years ago that this message applies to, but each one of us where we sit and stand today. And so as we consider these four words of kingdom wisdom, don't think that you're unaffected either. The call is for you too. So before we dig into those four words of kingdom wisdom, let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless our time. Our Father, I thank you for the time that I've been able to preach your perfect word, to preach this wonderful sermon through the Sermon on the Mount, to preach the wonderful words Jesus has given. And so, God, I pray that as we wrap that up this morning, that you will be glorified, that your Holy Spirit will come to impart this wisdom, not just to our minds, but to our hearts, that we might live it out for the building of your kingdom and for the glory of your name. Lord, I pray that you will bless each one here today. Bless me, give me words of wisdom. Bless the hearers, that they would hear your truth. And bless our lives, that we might live it out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so considering Jesus giving four words of kingdom wisdom, the first I want us to see is that he tells us to walk the right path. Now, what we're going to see here is that Jesus is giving sort of a parable, sort of an option that is pretty typical throughout Scripture. I mean, at various junctions throughout the Bible, what we see is God telling people, the Israelites or the church, that if you will go this way, things will go well. But if you don't, if you disobey, things are going to go not so grand. In fact, we kind of heard one of those today in family groups where God had told Solomon, if you will obey, if you will follow, then you will always have someone on the throne. But if you disobey, then it's going to be divided. It's going to be taken. And so this is getting back to that same idea then. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us this, or says this, these words of wisdom. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Now here Jesus is giving the idea that there are two paths in life that we can take. There is a broad path with a wide gate at the end, and there's also a difficult path with a narrow gate at the end. And the road that we walk down, the road that we continue to live our lives by, is going to give us an idea of the kind of things we can expect at the end of those roads. Of course, Jesus said the broad road leads to destruction, but the difficult road that ends in the narrow gate leads to life. Many find the broad way of destruction, but few find the narrow gate that leads to life. As I was studying this and considering this point, I ran across a good poem that kind of illustrates this. It says, "There will always be forks in the road, decisions that have to be made. You will always have to bear the load of each debt that has to be paid. Every fork has a destination with consequences to each choice. Be wary of earthly temptation, for it may have the loudest voice. Other paths will intersect your own, other lives will feel its effect. The aftermath may remain unknown with results you may not expect. Be careful not to be led astray from the righteous course you once strode. Only through faith can you find your way when you reach the forks in the road." At the end of this sermon, Jesus offers a chance to heed his wisdom and to beware of the warnings, to follow his path and forsake the path of the upside down world. There, when we read these verses, it's not hard to decide which path we want to be on, right? I mean, I don't want to walk a path that leads to the destruction of many. I would rather walk a difficult path, a hard and treacherous path, if it's going to lead to eternal life. But again, this is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. We know which path we need to take, but are we walking that path? Having gained knowledge of his kingdom, we are called to use that knowledge to then live in kingdom wisdom. Jesus' wisdom says, enter the narrow gate. It is the one that is difficult, that few find. Yet it is the king's wisdom that is the one we are to enter. And so, of course, on the flip side of that, the upside down world tells us to constantly go the easy way. To go the way that everyone else is going, the way that is socially acceptable. The upside down world tells us to take the broad road and the wide gate, but Jesus warns us it leads to destruction. And so in our world, the broad way is the way of ease, the way the culture wants you to go, the way that says that is the right thing to do. Now, of course, the upside-down world, the ways of society, the cultural trends aren't omniscient. They can't see the end of that road, but Jesus here, who is omniscient, tells us the end of that road is peril. The end of that road is destruction. And so the key then is to forsake the ways of the world, to forsake the knowledge and wisdom that they would try to share, to forsake the cultural trends that want to mold us to go their way, and to trust alone in Jesus Christ is the key to turning it around, to walking the narrow road. And so as we consider, are you walking on the narrow way or the broad way? There's a question I want you each to consider. Is living your faith easy? I mean, I go to church every once in a while when I feel like it. You know, I might say a prayer before a meal if the Spirit hits. I might do this or that to help someone out. But Jesus doesn't want us to be Bible thumpers or holy rollers or devote our whole lives to Him. I mean, I've got a life to live. That's just foolish. That type of faith is easy to live. But Jesus said the narrow way that leads to life is difficult, and few tread it because it is difficult. And so this means then that a life that is lived for Jesus is going to be one of struggle. Struggle against sin. Struggle against ease. Struggle against our schedules sometimes. Struggle against the limited resources we may have. All kinds of struggles to live a life that is dedicated to Jesus. Holiness is hard. Righteousness is hard. You might be made fun of. You might be ironically excluded. You'll be labeled. You might be maligned. You might even be persecuted. But when you enter that narrow gate, trotting that difficult path, you will have life. You can choose to live the way of the upside-down world, as most do, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And so Jesus' words here, the kingdom wisdom says, forsake the way of the world and pursue the narrow gate. Live your life for Jesus. So we must walk the right path. The second word of wisdom Jesus gives is produce good fruit. We see this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. And so here we have Jesus' next words of kingdom wisdom, but they're stated in the negative rather than the positive. The second word of wisdom here is produce good fruit, because what we see is false prophets produce bad fruit. And so we don't want to be false prophets. We don't want to be people who falsely follow God. And so the key then is as we give our hearts to Jesus, we will begin to produce good fruit. What Jesus says here is that these false prophets look right. They look like the sheep that are in the fold or in the flock. They're wearing sheep's clothing, but inside, Jesus says, they are ravaging wolves. They're not the authentic article. They're not the real thing. And so the key then is to be genuine from the heart, to inside have the true faith that Jesus calls us to have a life that is dedicated to Him, a life that walks the narrow path. And as we walk that difficult, narrow path, what we're going to see is that good fruit produces in our lives. fruit of righteousness, fruit of worship, hopefully the fruit of seeing people come to know him through your words and actions and ministry. All kinds of good fruit comes from the good tree that knows Jesus and follows him. You know, false prophets producing bad fruit will end in destruction. Again, destruction is the key there. Jesus is presenting a dichotomy that if you go the opposite way you should, if you are unauthentic in who you are, destruction is going to follow. And so there's wisdom to follow the right path and produce good fruit, but there's the warning to stay away from the wrong path and don't be a bad tree that produces bad fruit. Be authentic in your faith, which maybe I'm reading ahead a little bit, but these verses are connected, so you'll have to forgive me. This means then that we must be constantly evaluating the things that we are being taught, the things that are said to us. We must be discerning because bad teaching leads to bad places, and bad places bring bad things. Do not be fooled by those who teach according to the values and priorities of this upside-down world. If you hear it on TV, the radio, the internet, maybe, God forbid, even from a pulpit, the values of the world run. There are ravaging wolves around. We must be discerning on the type of things that we hear. We must be careful to walk the right path. We must be those who produce good fruit because that is what Jesus calls us to do, to live according to kingdom wisdom. So we've seen those first two. The third is like the second. Be honest with yourself. We've just talked about being fooled by false prophets, by false teaching. But here Jesus is warning us to not be fooled by your own heart. In verses 21 through 23, what we read is, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Now, these have got to be some of the most terrifying verses, I think, in the Bible. Because these are people who thought they were doing right. These are people who thought they were following all of the dictates of God. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, no, you guys didn't actually do those things. They may have even actually done some great and marvelous things in the name of God. But yet Jesus declares, I never knew you. And so Jesus' wisdom here is do not deceive yourself, but rather be honest with yourself. In the previous verses, Jesus warns us against being deceived by false prophets, and now he is warning us against being deceived by our own hearts. We can never underestimate mankind's ability to deceive ourselves. Consider what the prophet says. In Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, Yahweh, examine the mind. I test the heart to give each according to his way, according to his actions, to what his actions deserve. And so what we see here is that Old Testament prophecy of what Jesus has just warned us and shared his wisdom about. That we can be deceived in our hearts, but God is not deceived. That we can think that we are going the right way because we examine ourselves falsely, but God is the only one who examines and judges truly. He is the only one who can know even our own hearts, even above ourselves. And so when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, It was not a rebuke against prophecy. It was not a rebuke against casting out demons or doing miracles in his name, those great religious acts. It was a rebuke against religion devoid of a relationship. I never knew you. And so we must be honest with our own hearts. You know, this gets to the idea of nominal Christianity, people who claim to be Christian in name, but their lives do not display it. Their hearts don't display it. You know, I've always said it every time I've been up here preaching these messages, that Jesus is after our hearts. That means relationship. It's not about standing on the street corner and praying these great verbose prayers. It's not about trying to build yourself up before men. It's not about anything except pursuing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so this is a call to examine yourself. You may like the idea of Jesus, but do you spend time with him? You may like the idea of going to heaven, but you live for this life in the upside down world now. You like the idea of obedience, but do you do it without righteousness? Do you know Jesus through a redeemed relationship with him? Jesus' words of wisdom are constantly drawing a sharp distinction between the ways of the upside down world and his way. A broad way, a narrow, difficult path. A false prophet who produces bad fruit, a true person in relationship with him producing good fruit. And now these false prophets who think they're doing good, who look good according to man's ways. But Jesus declares, I never knew you. So we've got to walk the right path, produce good fruit, be honest with ourselves. And now we'll see the last word of kingdom wisdom. Build your life on the solid rock. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed, and its collapse was great. I think this is the last and final word of wisdom from Jesus, the last and final warning from Jesus. It's one thing to hear Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7 and think, yeah, those are some fun, great words that I've heard as a child in church, that my parents shared with me, that I even sing songs about. But it's another thing to actually live them out. Notice in this parable, this picture that Jesus gives, there are two men who each build a house. There are two men who each in that house have to endure some things. They have the rain come, the rivers flood, the wind and the storms blow. By all accounts, it seems each man should have an equal outcome. Except, they don't. Of course, we all saw the reasons why. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man, versus everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man. And so the word of wisdom here from Jesus is stop placing your foundation, stop placing your life on anything that will shift, anything that will wash away, anything that changes in this world. And set your life solely on the foundation, the rock, the anchor of Christ alone. The only thing that doesn't change. The only thing that is sure. The only thing that will see us through the perils of this upside down world and give us life. Give us eternal life in Him. So continue to push Jesus away at your own peril. Continue to ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction at your own peril. Jesus' words of wisdom here are, listen to my words and do them, and you will be built on the solid rock. Jesus didn't guarantee that there wouldn't be difficult times, that there wouldn't be rain, floods, and storms in our lives. We will all have struggles, trials, and hardship, but it is he or she who knows Jesus, it is he or she who is trusted in him, who will stand through those struggles, trials, and hardships. It is them whose hearts will soar, though the world around him be falling. So although spoken almost 2,000 years ago, these words have never been more relevant than they are today. In a pluralistic society, whether one religion is supposed to be as good as another, and one way of life is as good as another, Jesus still stands on the great divide and says, choose. Every man will walk the broad way with the crowd unless he deliberately chooses to leave it by a strong and decisive act of faith and follow Jesus up the narrow way. Every man's house will be swept away on the surging sands unless he carefully chooses to build it upon the difficult and demanding rock. With an eloquence which is undimmed by myriad of translations and rolling centuries of time, Jesus has set the alternatives once and for all. Follow me into the life that will never fade away, or go with the world into everlasting destruction. And as we conclude, I want to read the last two verses of Matthew chapter 7, the response of the crowd to the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, all of these people are gathered around Jesus and hearing these things. And when he had finished, we read, when Jesus had finished this sermon, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. How many of those gathered people heeded his wisdom? He said it himself, probably. Many took the broad way, but only a few walked the difficult road. Yet the crowd was astonished. I guess we could say this is the last warning. We can all gather around and hear from the Scripture. We can all gather around and hear God's Word and yet walk away astonished but unchanged. Walk away astonished but uncommitted. And so the call then this morning is to trust in Jesus, to set your life firmly on that solid rock, and to find in Him your everlasting life. And so I want to close with this last question. What will you do with Jesus and his teaching? What will you do with Jesus and his teaching? You know, this morning my prayer is that the Holy Spirit's been working on your heart to help you see the grand difference, the vast difference between the priorities and values of this upside down world contrasted with the way of Jesus, contrasted with the life of faith. And to hear these words of wisdom and the warnings that accompany them, and to take them to heart. That we can no longer pursue the wide road that leads to destruction. We can no longer produce bad fruit in our lives without realizing it and seeing, Jesus probably doesn't know me. My house is built on sand. As it would be a fearful thing to leave after hearing Jesus' words, maybe even astonished, but not trusting in Him. What will you do with Jesus and His teaching? Will you trust in Him as Savior? Repent and turn from the broad way to commit yourselves to walking that hard path. To repent and begin to produce good fruit in your life. to truly examine yourself and find, do I know Jesus? Does he know me? And to finally, once and for all, resolve to build your life on him, the solid rock. You know, we're going to move into our time of invitation and the Lord's Supper, and this will be a time for you to respond if the Lord has been working on your hearts, to trust in him, to give your life to him, to recommit your way to him, whatever it might be. But don't leave as an astonished member of the crowd without doing something with Jesus' words. Let's pray. Our Lord, I thank you for these powerful words that we haven't just been hearing a repetition of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, but that we are taking it to heart just as Jesus intended when he preached it so long ago. That even here today, in Kingdom City, Missouri, in 2022, it still rings with the authority it once or always had. That it still rings with astonishment at the truth that he imparts. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go before, will work in each of our hearts, and help us to commit to you. And Lord, as we remember the great cost that was paid for us in order to be able to have a relationship with you, the broken body and shed blood of Christ, Lord, I pray that you will call us to your throne to be saved and to commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.